People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. Certainly warmer today. And it's going to be warmer overall today. So I hope you had a great weekend. I did. I was pretty busy. I spent Friday night conducting a paranormal investigation of the Millicent Library with their kids' book club. We went over there and taught them a little bit about the techniques that we use and the tools that we use and why we use them. And then we did a little investigation of the library itself. And then the kids went home. The parents took them home. And we stayed with the librarians and checked out even more areas of the library. And some pretty interesting stuff happened. There was a point where we were down in the archives room in the basement. We were the only ones in the building. Building was locked. Building was secured. We're down in the basement. And we start hearing this, like, footsteps almost, and then this dragging sound. And we were up in the tower, and we could hear footsteps going up the stairs to the tower. So, kind of an interesting night. And I'll be there on Wednesday presenting Ghosts of the South Coast. If you want to come and see me, it's at 6:30. And then Saturday, I'll be in Freetown at the Freetown Police Department's community room talking about haunted objects. That's also at 6:30. So those are my local events this week. And then Saturday night, Spooky Sandwich. We spent the night investigating a couple of buildings in Sandwich, the Dana Webster Inn, of course, the Old Town Hall, and the Town Hall Annex, which the Town Hall Annex building is for sale. So this might be the only time we ever got in there. Pretty interesting place. However, it's an old bank building, and I was like, well, I would love to buy this and turn this into my home. But there's so much mold in the building, it seems. And not that I could see it, but you can smell it. There's certainly some problems there. And I guess it was built on swampland, so that's made it so that it constantly has condensation, moisture, water built up in it. But other than that, I was like, wow, how cool would it be to have a former bank as your home? Especially since right next door is a former church that was turned into a private residence. We had a story about that at WBSM.com and on the app quite a while ago. But the investigation itself was, it was interesting, but it was thankfully not anything that was concerning. As you know, you go into one of these things for the first time and you're like, you're bringing a group of people in, you say, I hope everything is nice and calm and friendly. And that seemed to be the case. Plus, great food, great hospitality from the Dana Webster Inn. And that's my last ghost hunt planned for October. So I'll let you know if I have some other things coming up. Working on I've been doing an annual holiday event the last couple of years in early December. So working on securing the date and location for that. But then yesterday I spent time just kind of bumming around because you get pretty tired staying up all night. And then when I went to sleep, I only really slept in little fits of sleep. So you wake up, you're tired. You're not really in a rush to get home and do things. You know, you wake up, the hotel kitchen had a fire. So the kitchen is shut down for now. But they still put out like a continental breakfast. So, you know, spend time down there with some of the attendees that had stayed overnight and had some breakfast and talked. And then I went to the Sandwich Bazaar, which is just another name for a very expensive flea market. Then came home and had a bunch of errands to run. And then got to the desk in my home office and did some work. So all in all, not a bad weekend. But I was kind of disconnected from the news. I didn't even watch the Patriots yesterday. I listened to it on the radio. Heard it right here on WBSM. And so this morning I'm getting caught up with some of the stories from over the weekend. And I saw one this morning. The continuing saga of the Hanson Water Tower with the Trump message projected onto it. Oh, and by the way, before I get into that, I should tell you about our big guest today. Totally forgot to mention our big guest. In the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by Little Nell Campbell, one of the original stars of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Just the original, not only the original stage production, but the film as well. She played Columbia, one of these servants in Frankenfurter's castle. And she's going to be joining us because they're going to have a special screening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show this Thursday night at the Strand in Providence. And Little Nell will be in attendance. Nell Campbell will be there taking part in the festivities, meeting and greeting people ahead of time. So it's going to be a really fantastic event. So she's going to join us. She's going to talk about that, and we'll talk about the legacy of Rocky Horror. But getting back to this water tower story, I guess yesterday they had hundreds of people that gathered in support of this message that are supporting this person's projection of this logo onto the water tower. Now they're finding, they've been referring to the neighbor whose name has not been released, the person who is projecting this image, as Mr. X. And he is being fined $100 a day since he started doing this, which has been over a week now. And so the people in attendance took up donations and raised thousands of dollars to cover those fees, those fines. And at the same time, the town is utilizing floodlights to wash out the projection. And the town said, this is according to WCVB, that the town is going to continue its efforts to try to dim the image with spotlights and finding the resident each day that the image continues to be projected onto town property. So Trump supporters at Sunday standout raised thousands to help pay any fines the Hansen homeowner may face and gathered new support for the candidate. One supporter said, all the cars going by are waving, beeping, shaking their hands and their hats out the window. It's wonderful. Another said, I cannot think of a better way to spend a beautiful late fall Sunday afternoon than supporting a property in town as well as Donald Trump. Well, I can think of lots of better ways to spend a Sunday than standing out there, especially a beautiful day like yesterday, than standing out there supporting any candidate. But okay, if that's what you want to do. The biggest problem here is they can talk all they want about how wonderful it is, and they can raise all the money they want to pay those fines. This is not a situation where somebody is being unfairly maligned for their support of Donald Trump. There is no persecution happening here. This is somebody who is breaking the law and who is foisting his own opinions onto public property and who is being indignant when told that he is in violation of the law. And then you've got a bunch of people that want to stand out there and say, yeah, we support his right to break the law. This has become the stupidest story of this entire election cycle. This has become the biggest moment of, are you really that stupid, of the election cycle? And I really shouldn't be surprised, because things are just going to get stupider and stupider over the next couple of weeks. We saw Donald Trump making French fries yesterday, holding a press conference out of a drive-through window, which, by the way, I thought was funny, and I thought was a fun thing to do. So I'm not criticizing, but I'm just saying, like, that's the level of ridiculous we're getting to. I mean, we can get into that later. I don't want to derail the conversation here about this water tower. But if that was a Kamala Harris message that was being projected on that water tower, Trump supporters would be all up in arms about this. They would be out there protesting every day the fact that this person was projecting that sign. Now, according to WCVB's report here, there were no signs of any counter-protesters yesterday. There was nobody from the Harris side that was protesting the pro-Trump support for this water tower message. You know why? Because they know that it's stupid. So I think you can't. I'm trying to find a way to put it here where I'm not, because obviously these people that showed up yesterday in support thought that they were doing a good thing. But are they ignorant of the law? Are they unaware that you can't utilize public property, town-owned property for political messaging? Are they just unaware of that? It's entirely possible that they might be, because Donald Trump, for better or worse, brought a lot of people into the political fold here that never paid attention to politics before. So you've got people who might not be aware of the rules, the ground rules of how this all works. So there may have been people who were ignorant of the law, but it's gotten enough news coverage over the last week that you would think that by now they'd be aware that this is a violation. So then the second thing I have to assume then is that there are people who were there who just think that the law doesn't apply to them. That the law should apply to anybody else, but that when it's for Donald Trump, it's a different story. Which sounds oddly like Donald Trump himself. If this was any other messaging, people would be rather, I would honestly believe they would be finding this person's yard and trespassing on his property and yanking the plug out of his projector. If that was a Kamala Harris message, or if that was a, you know, pride flag in June, or, you know, pick any other cause that those who support Donald Trump are generally against. But because it's for Donald Trump, it should be okay. It should be allowed. It's not freedom of speech. It's not an infringement on his freedom of speech to tell him that he can't project this. He is welcome to put all the Trump signs in his yard that he wants. He is welcome to project all the Trump logos that he wants to in his own privately owned property or in anybody else's private property that gives him permission. But you can't do it on public property. So to all those people that donated yesterday and raised thousands of dollars, congratulations, you just wasted your money. 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
My. Aren't we disturbed this morning?
Yeah, because people are stupid.
You know what, Mr. Weisberg? You're just upset because the Trump followers thought of that before the Harris followers thought of it.
Harris followers didn't think of it because it's against the law.
But who cares? They're going to pay for it. It's no big deal. You really think it's that?
It is a big deal. Because you know what's going to happen now is every person in Hanson now that wants to project some sort of political message is going to start projecting it onto the water tower and say, well, you didn't shut down the other guy, so you got to let me do it.
Well, so who cares? Why does it bother you so much?
Because they're stupid.
Well, how is their being stupid going to hurt you? I didn't get that.
Oh, see, so that's how it works, right? That's how it works. When it's something that's something that you support, not a big deal.
Calm down.
It's not a big deal.
Did you not have your donut? Hey, listen, you didn't have your donut and coffee this morning?
Mary, you are the biggest hypocrite of anybody that calls into this station.
Why?
Because if it's something that pisses you off and angers you, you're going to call in and complain about it. But if I complain about something, that's not a big deal.
I'm not complaining about you. I'm laughing. You're making me laugh. I'm not complaining about you.
Because your double standard is ridiculous.
Okay, I'm sorry that you're feeling so bad. But, you know, when I went to vote, the Harris people were all on two different corners at the Octopus. And the panhandler, that's usually over there, he was more pissed off than you. He told him to get the hell off his corner. It was funny as hell. I was driving by. You can't park in the middle of the Octopus. I wanted to wait and see what was going to happen, but I just kept going. I had to find a parking place.
I saw him over there, and I said, I had my window down, and I said, why don't you just go over there and join them? And he just gave me a funny look.
Well, he does have the right to, you know. So now they're going to pay a fine for this water tower.
$100 a day.
Hey, don't have any waffles, because it was right on your own news channel there about the waffles. They're all being recalled, all different kind of brands, too.
Yeah, I try not to eat frozen waffles, but I definitely have some in the freezer, but I probably bought them a long time ago. It's probably before this happened.
It's almost on a daily basis now that we're hearing recalls for different kinds of foods and stuff, and I've been trying to warn everybody, got to watch out now, because I'm even worried about the meats. I mean, they had that big recall at all the Walmarts, for different kind of meats. And a lot of it, when I really got down to it and looked into it, a lot of it was prepared frozen food that's already, you know, meals that are prepared already. But anyway, I don't buy that stuff. So that's not even going to affect me at all. I have to worry about the meat and eggs. That's usually my main staple. So I have to worry about that, you know.
I went to, I was going to say, I did a paranormal event last week in Salem, and I stopped at a grocery store to get, you know, because we serve salad and pizza at some of these, and I stopped to get the salad stuff, and one of the bags of salad mix had a bunch of rotten lettuce in it, And I was like, well, that, you know, it happens. Sometimes that happens. And then I had cherry tomatoes that I, you know, bought a pint of or whatever and sprinkled into the salad. And somebody found mold on one of those salads, one of those tomatoes. I was like, come on. Like, this came right from the supermarket.
You let a little air get at the produce and you're all done. It doesn't last long. It's hard to get it fresh. Turkeys is the worst for fresh produce. Turkey. Years ago, when I was eating salads and stuff, I'd go there because I lived nearby Turkeys at that time. And every single time I went in there, I found rotten lettuce and rotten tomatoes. The celery was rotten, you know. You want to put some celery in your tuna. And nope, it was rotten most of the time when I went in there. That's a shame. Now, they found a house in, I don't have a lot more time, in on Precinct Street. Now, is that Lakeville, all those animals they just found?
Middleborough.
Hmm. I knew a lady that had all kinds of, and she lived on that street, so I'm wondering if it's her. I don't know. I thought she lived in Lakeville, but I'm not sure.
Well, there's two Precinct Streets. There's one in Middleborough and one in Lakeville.
Yeah. So you had a good time, huh? You were here and there and everywhere.
Yeah. Nice weekend.
I had a lot of fun, and you signed a bunch of books, and so now when people go in, they're already signed?
Yep, I forget how many books there were, like five or six at the Barnes & Noble in Wareham. So,
you know, I still don't understand how you can vote for an alcoholic. That bothers me. You know, you're voting for an alcoholic woman. You're also voting for her sidekick, that freaking pedophile. You know all this already. I mean, you could write in a different name if you have to. I just can't accept that you're voting for those two people.
Well, you're voting for a criminal rapist, so...
Yeah, but he's not a rapist. Why isn't he in jail? Why?
Because the statute of limitations had run out on it as a crime.
Well, why did they let it get that far if he's so guilty?
Hey, listen, it doesn't matter. He was still guilty.
In your mind, in your eyes and in your mind.
And in the eyes of the court.
When I was leaving the library, that's the last thing I'll say, and I know the clock's ticking. When I came out of the library, a man was walking past me, and I was talking to a woman. And he stopped right in the middle of my conversation. He goes, I know who you are. I recognize your voice from the radio. I said, nice to meet you, but who are you? And I don't remember what his name was. But he says, oh, I like to listen to you and Tim. I said, well, I'm glad. Make sure you keep listening. You're going to hear plenty. He says, I will. I won't miss it. He said, I don't know who he was.
But see, you've already...
He's a nice little guy, a nice little man. What?
You've already developed yourself a following.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm happy about that.
You'll be signing autographs.
No, never. It's just my appointment, like my opinion, like everybody else that calls your show.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
And you know what? I still know that you didn't vote for them. Okay. So you have a good day now.
Okay. Whatever makes you feel better. Have a good day.
I know you didn't do it because I know you just couldn't do that. You're not that. Come on.
I absolutely did.
Okay.
I absolutely did. And then I went to the campaign headquarters, got the T-shirt, the bumper stickers. So
I saw the photograph of you holding that sign.
I have a bumper sticker for you if you want it.
If I want it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I do want it. I mean, it's history. You know, we're making history right now. You know that.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
hey.
Be careful with your food. Be careful with your food all day today, okay?
Will do. All right. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, 508-996-0500. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, we will take more of your calls coming up. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The House Speaker leaps to Trump's defense over comments about political enemies. A weeks-long Boeing strike could be over. And at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's about time.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is insisting former President Trump will not use the military against his political enemies if he's elected. We get more from Scott Carr in Washington.
In a contentious interview on CNN's State of the Union, Johnson responded to recent controversial comments from Trump. Speaking with Fox News last week, Trump had suggested using the military on U.S. soil to tamp down any election chaos by what he called the enemy within, most likely posed, he said, by radical left lunatics. Johnson says what Trump actually meant is that he would deploy security forces to make American cities safer.
What he's talking about is marauding gangs of dangerous, violent people who are destroying public property. property. Nope.
Johnson says Americans are sick of being afraid on the streets of their cities. And if Trump were elected, he would bring order to the chaos. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Biden's exit from the race was not political. This week, Pelosi said her concerns about Biden's re-election bid were not about his campaign, but about him as a candidate. Pelosi added she didn't pressure Biden to drop out of the race, but did say she's never been that impressed with Biden's political operation. Senator Bernie Sanders is trying to woo undecided voters upset with the Biden administration's support for Israel. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the Vermont Independent claimed a Kamala Harris administration would be the best option for those who want the U.S. to help improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza amid the Israel-Hamas war.
So if we are able to elect Harris, I think we're going to have an opportunity to move her on that issue, to make it clear we cannot allow children in Gaza to starve to death.
Sanders' comments come as many Democrats are concerned about large Muslim American populations in critical states such as Michigan, who've long been outspoken about Israeli treatment of Palestinians. Israel's war in Gaza has so far killed at least 42,000 Palestinians. Boeing has reached a tentative deal with its machinists union that could end a weeks-long strike. The new contract would include a 35% wage increase over the next 4 years, higher 401k contributions, guaranteed payouts and a bonus program, and a higher signing bonus. Members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers will vote to ratify the deal on Wednesday. And the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is in the books. The event was held Saturday night at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. This year's Hall of Fame class included Mary J. Blige, Cher, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Dave Matthews Band, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. In addition, Jimmy Buffett, MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield were honored for musical excellence. Big Mama Thornton, Alexis Corner, and John Mayall were recognized for their musical influence. The 5.5-hour event streamed live on Disney+. ABC plans to air a special on the induction ceremony in January.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Patriots are still searching for answers after dropping their sixth in a row. The Pats were topped by the Jacksonville Jaguars 32-16 at Wembley Stadium in London. They host the New York Jets in Week 8. And Banner 18 about to take its rightful place in the rafters at TD Garden. Celtics celebrating their 18th championship for the final time before the new regular season begins Tuesday with the New York Knicks. The Bruins close out their three-game road trip tomorrow night. They're facing the Nashville Predators.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Today will be an uncommonly warm, sun-filled day here on the South Coast. Temperatures topping out in the upper 70s, close to a record high of 81 set in 1920. Winds pick up in the afternoon, an elevated fire risk. Tonight, clearer, lows in the 50s, more sun on Tuesday and Wednesday, with temperatures once again in the 70s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And that is Mr. Big to be with you. One of the most beautifully sung songs of the early 90s. Back when the hair bands were still popular. They hadn't quite gotten wiped out and extinct yet. And just as a side note, it's a little bit of revisionist history to say that Nirvana dropped Smells Like Teen Spirit and then all of a sudden, you know, the hair bands were killed, that they died off. There was a period of time when they were all coexisting. The problem wasn't that, you know, public sentiment changed. The problem was the record companies changed. The record company said, oh, this is the shiny new thing. This is what people are into. Let's push more of these bands. And they left a lot of those hair metal bands, hair rock bands, whatever you want to call them. I think it was a derogatory term until, you know, Dee Snider helped claim it back. But so a lot of those bands were still putting out great music and having success, even in the face of the rise of alternative rock. It was more the record companies that abandoned them than it was the audience. That's just the way I see it. And Mr. Big is proof of that. They still put out some hits. Extreme was putting out some big songs. I think Poison had a pretty big album after that. And then, you know, then it started to die off because eventually all music fads do. And really, the grunge rock, alternative rock thing lasted about as long as the hair metal thing did. So, yeah, probably shorter, actually. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Now it's all popular again. It's all making a comeback. The young kids love it. You walk into any store, there's Nirvana t-shirts for sale, but there's also, you know, AC/DC t-shirts for sale. Every retro vintage TV t-shirt shelf has their Kiss shirts. Not enough Van Halen shirts, though. Van Halen used to have great shirts back in the day, and they don't recreate those. My uncle had the best shirt. It just said on it, all it said was on the back, Van Halen kicks ass. Great shirt. I tried to find one online a couple years ago. They were going for like $80. Don't throw away, well, you can't throw away clothes anymore in Massachusetts. We made a law against it, but don't throw away old rock and roll shirts if you find them in your home. If you're cleaning out the attic and you find an old bin and you're like, oh, nobody wants these 80s or 90s rock shirts, don't throw them away. They are extremely valuable because they make the reproduction ones now. You walk into Spencer Gifts, Hot Topic, even Walmart, Target, JCPenney, they have these reproduction band shirts. But if you've got the originals, they go for big bucks. And I think of all the shirts that I had over the years that if I just hung on to them, I might have a little small fortune there. Or at least I would have had enough that I could have sold them all to buy one that I really wanted. But the only ones I hung on to were my U2 concert shirts. Because I remember saying, I paid $30 for this shirt. That's a lot of money for this shirt. I'm not getting rid of it, even though it doesn't fit anymore. Like now it's, you know, $45, $50, $55, $60 for some of these shirts. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We do have a new contest up for you at WBSM.com and on the app. This week, we are giving away tickets to see Adam Ray in Dr. Phil Live. So Adam Ray is an actor and a comedian. You know him from some of his roles on television. Like, I know he played Vince McMahon on the Young Rock show. And he's been in a lot of movies and TV shows. And he does a really great Dr. Phil McGraw impression. And so he actually tours the country with this show, Dr. Phil Live, where he's basically just combining his stand-up with a parody, a characterization, caricature, a farcical version of the Dr. Phil show. And so when he goes to different cities, you know, he'll bring up celebrity guests that might be in town and things like that. So it really is a very fun show. Now, the show isn't until March, but it's been such a popular ticket already that we know people are out there trying to buy them. So we said, we'll put them up now and give them away now instead of waiting for March. We held off a few so we can give some away when we get closer to the show too, but we've got tickets to give away this week to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil Live. You can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they have many great tastings going on, including this Friday. They'll have some Halloween-y type things for you to try. And that's from 4 to 6. 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. So we were talking before about the Trump Water Tower, the Town of Hanson Water Tower that somebody's projecting the Trump logo onto, that they drew a large crowd of people yesterday that was in support of it, even though they're wrong because it's against the law. And if it was a Harris message that was being portrayed, they would not be so supportive of the idea. But, you know, when it's their boy, the rules don't count. But there's another story that I wanted to bring up this morning, and it's a really nice thing that is well-deserved. A bridge in Boston is being renamed, and it's the one that is over the Charles River, so it's near the TD Garden. It's going to be renamed the Bill Russell Bridge. Actually, it'll be technically the William Felton Bill Russell Bridge. But I think everybody will just call it the Bill Russell Bridge. So if you remember, he died, was it last year? And they had already created a statue in his honor. But there was already talk about needing to have a more large-scale remembrance for Bill Russell, not just for what he did on the basketball court. I mean, the greatest champion of all time, 11 NBA championships with the Celtics. All the Laker fans out there are saying, yeah, but who did they play against? They played against your Lakers. He was also the first black head coach in any major U.S. sport. But he was also a very big part of the civil rights movement, both locally and nationally. So the City Hall Plaza statue has been there since 2013, and Bill Russell got a chance, of course, to see that. But this is a posthumous way to honor the greatest winner in the history of sports. So I think that's a great idea. Again, the bridge is right near TD Garden. It is currently under construction, and it spans the Charles River and connects Charlestown to the West End and North End near TD Garden. So it's not going to be a bridge that a lot of people are utilizing to go to Celtics games. It's not like it's the Zakim Bridge, where it's going to be in every exterior shot. You know, you always see on Celtics broadcasts, whether it be the locally produced ones or the national coverage, they always have that shot of that bridge lit up outside of TD Garden. And I think, you know, you'll certainly get aerial footage and mention of the Bill Russell Bridge, but it won't be the same as having the iconic Zakim Bridge next to it. Speaking of bridges, too, I was in Worcester the other night for the ghost stories that I was presenting in the Common. As I was coming back, I drove under a footbridge that is for a tea station that was looked very similar to the bridge that they're building in New Bedford over Route 18. And this thing was decked all out in LED lights. I mean, it was lit up like it was a carnival. And then the elevator enclosure was all lit up too and changing colors, and it was really, really impressive. And I'm wondering if that's the level of LED lighting they're going to put on the bridge in New Bedford. That, if so, that's going to be something that will really get a lot of buzz. And it's a soft light. It's not overly bright. So I don't think it's the kind of light that would interfere with anybody's windows, say. Like, you're not going to be kept up all night by these blinking lights. But if that's what it's going to look like, it's going to be pretty special. And keep in mind that they weren't going to build something like that originally until Mayor Mitchell pushed back. They wanted to build something probably more similar to what's already there. But instead of an $8 million bridge, now you're getting a $20 million bridge. Which is expected to be ready to go in time for South Coast Rail Service when it starts in May. It'll probably be, the bridge will probably be completed before that. I don't know if they're going to light it up before then, but very excited to see the final product. It's already looking great over there. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. When I look at a girl, sometimes they're crazy. They wonder why I'm such a baby, cause the dolphins make me cry. Well, there's nothing I can do. I've been looking for a girl like you. You look at me, you got nothing left to say. I'm on about at you until I get by. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Again, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Little Nell Campbell. And she probably, you know, has grown up enough now that we don't have to call her Little Nell anymore. But that was her name that she was known as back in her days as a busker and as a dancer and a waitress. And, oh, we're going to talk to her about, I want to ask her about what it was like selling clothes in Kensington Market at the booth right next to Freddie Mercury's. She knew Freddie Mercury as he was trying to make it big with Queen. And we'll find out how she got cast in Rocky Horror to begin with, and then made the transition from the stage show to the movie, which has come to define the term cult classic, and which will be shown, well, and there's a bunch of showings all over for it this time of year. But this one in particular at the Strand on Thursday is key for two reasons. One, it's going to have Nell Campbell in attendance. So you can actually meet and greet and get a photo and all that with Nell Campbell. They have a meet and greet package. But also, the show is at 8 p.m. The doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. So you don't have to wait for a midnight showing of Rocky Horror. So you don't have to be up all night if you want to go out and see it. And if you've never seen it with a shadow cast performance, oh man, you're in for a treat. We'll talk more about that coming up. But right now, I'm going to take another break before the end of the hour. We'll be right back in just a few moments. All right, that's going to do it for the first hour. We are already done. We're already 1 hour in the books. Time flies when we're having fun. And in the next hour, we're going to hear from this week's South Coast Health Community Spotlight. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Nell Campbell.